Praise the Lord. Once again, God has given us this blessed opportunity to gather in His presence in this fashion. And I am encouraged to listen a lot of testimonies of their brothers and sisters. They believe in prayer. They believe in the prayer of their co-brothers. They trust in the local church. They love them, care for them. This is the life of a local church. This is the strength of the local church. When your brother wanted to pray for the missions in Egypt, I joined with him to please pray for India. Every five people gathered anywhere at random, one is an Indian. So India is so thickly populated, 1/4 of America, having 3 times population of America. And it is easy to speak a big crowd anywhere we can stand in any public place and get permission from government to speak about Jesus in such a non-Christian country. But a lot of non-Christian countries don't give permission even to worship the name of Jesus. But those people are permitted to have their own church or mosque in this Christian country. I thank God for this government having such an open vision. Everybody has got to worship God. That is common right of man. God will speak to that people, any people who worship God through his own means. This morning before me, I think I have got 20 minutes. By the time I want to place before you about God's revelation of his own name. We can read Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. Exodus 6, 3. And I appeared unto Abraham, and to Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. You know that the Holy Bible begins with the statement that God created in the beginning the whole universe. And up to the time of Moses, the revelation of God was progressive. We can see up to the revelation, this progressive style of revelation continued. And in the fullness of the nature and the actions of our Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus demanded, if those who have seen me have seen the Father. So that was the greatest revelation God could give to the human world, humankind. This is the second step of God's revelation about His name. I don't think any of you, any parents are here who never put a name for their children. Why we should put a name for our children? Have you ever thought? In our Indian style, the head of the family puts the family name to his next generation, and the eldest son bears the name of the grandfather. So, in one style, we keep the memory of our forefathers and the great things they have done in their society, and we are proud of that legacy. And we see here, God is telling Moses, once He told in Exodus chapter 3 verse 15, when Moses asked Him, "You are sending me to the children of Israel for the last more than 200 years. They have no temple, they have no tabernacle, they have no worship. They are just gathering here and there, but not in the style Moses gave them to do. God told them to do. And through Moses, God gave them the beginning of the gathering in the name of God and worship. Before that, God gave them a revelation about who is God. He's telling them, "I revealed myself to other patriarchs, the name of God that is Almighty. But now I am revealing myself as Jehovah, a covenant keeping God." What was the covenant? When you go to Genesis chapter 15, we can see that covenant He gave to Abraham. Then again He gave the covenant to Jacob. "I am going to give you the land where Abraham was coming forward. Wherever your feet is touching, I will give you and to your generation as a nation." Here, the beginning of that fulfillment of that great promise given to Abraham is starting with the revelation of the name Jehovah. I don't have time to dwell upon that thought more time. We have to go fast. When we come to New Testament, the Gabriel is sent to Mary to tell her that she is going to have a son. You must give him the name Jesus. That we see in the Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, as well as in the Luke. We see that one can read Matthew chapter 1. Verse 24, Matthew 1:24. And there we read the word given by God to Abraham, to Gabriel, to pronounce to Mary. Then Joseph being verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was of this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused, Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. And the Gabriel came to her, told that she must put the name of the son, her son, as Joseph." We look, read in the Luke chapter 1 verse 32 also the same statement. Luke chapter 1 verse 32.
He shall be great, 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He is going to save the world. Jesus means the Savior of the world. There in Exodus we read that God is the covenant-keeping God, but the same God here revealing himself in the flesh, and God is ordering to give a name to that boy, that child. He should be called Jesus. When John the Baptist saw that Jesus is passing through, he's pointing to that person, young man, aged about 30. And he says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. As we were thinking in the morning, he was the Lamb slain for the remission of the sin of the whole world. In Genesis chapter 22, we read that a lamb was killed for a person, Isaac. In Exodus chapter 12, we see a lamb was slain for a family. In Leviticus chapter 16, verse 15, we see a lamb was slain for the whole nation. But in John's Gospel 1:29, we see that a lamb was slain for the whole world. And in Jesus, this was fulfilled. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, we see that the salvation is in the name of Jesus. If anybody calls the name of Jesus, he will be saved. It is quoted from Isaiah, and it is paraphrased to understand that if you call the name of Jesus and ask God for forgiveness of sin, God will give the forgiveness. How we were saved? The other day, one Jehovah Witness man was coming and arguing with me. Well, Jesus is not Jehovah. Jesus is not God. I asked him, are you a born again Christian? Yes, I am a born again Christian. How did you born again? I became born again by obeying the verses Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And he was almost telling it by heart. And he knew it. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you confess that Jesus is the Lord, otherwise you cannot be born again. You cannot be free from your eternal punishment. You cannot be having the witness in your heart. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. We did not receive the spirit of bondage and fear, but we received the spirit of the confession or the witness in our heart. The spirit is witnessing to our heart, to our spirit, that you are the child of God. So the litmus test of the born again Christian, every individual, can make sure by asking himself, the Spirit of God is witnessing to my spirit that I am a child of God. This witness will be continually having in our heart till our death. Many a time the devil brings the doubt when we commit some secret sin, some mistake in our, and the conscience starts pricking. The devil is there. You are a child of God. How could you say that like that? How could you do that? How could you think that?
So when we confess our sin, John's epistle, first epistle, chapter 1, verse 7 to 9.
When we confess our sins, not unbelievers, disbelievers,
God is faithful to forgive and wash you again,
or forgive you again
and make you whole and reestablish you in your faith.
So we have no doubt, every child of God, if anybody is here who has not given their heart to Jesus Christ, there is only one name. We can read Acts chapter 4 verse 12.
Neither is there salvation any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Only in one name, by Moses and Jacob and Manoah was asking, what is your name? They asked the God, the angel appeared to them. I see two reasons. One reason, they have to confirm what our forefathers given about, told about the God they believe. Second thing, at that time and even now, there are many small g gods in the world, and many worshippers worship such so-called gods. So Baal, Bel, and many other gods, when we turn to the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, we see that Elijah was asking Israel, whom do you serve? Are you putting even now your feet in two canoes or two boats? That is the original meaning of it, and in our Bible, in our translation, it is written like that, not to opinion, but like a man in the water, in the deep water, and there are two boats there, and there he is putting one leg in one boat and one in the other boat. If the one boat is moving, what will happen? He will fall down. Uncertain condition, undecided life. Here is the place where you can put your trust and become child of God. And in Matthew chapter 18-20, I have no time to refer the read the places. I am just referring to you. You know that places. Matthew 18-20. We are gathering in the name of our Jesus. If two or three gather in my name, this is a promise. There I am. Jesus is here because we are gathering in His precious name. And when we read. John chapter 16:23. If you pray in my name, if you ask God the Father in my name, it is sure He will answer. The prayer is answered in the name of Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 50, in His name we worship Him. If you don't praise God, if you don't thank God, we don't remember the sufferings of Jesus Christ, and we don't remember the name of Jesus, our worship is not acceptable to God. Our prayers are accepted by in the name of Jesus. Our worship is accepted in the name of Jesus. And by this great faith through Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, we got salvation. And we have received a new name. John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us, that we may be called the children of God. Then we called upon the name of Jesus, and we saved Him. And we have received a blessed name, the children of God. Once we were the children of Satan and devil. But how blessed we are. And we are attested
or reminded by the Holy Spirit that you are a child of God. And we have got a great hope. It never ends there. And never ends with the tomb and death. But there is a hope beyond the tomb. What is that? When he will come, he appear in the clouds. We will see him face to face. And we will be changed to his own image. Nobody has, no religion has, no gods can, no great people can give this hope. Only Jesus can give. Jesus revealed his loving disciple. John is writing that, children, you have got a great hope. Trust in God. Put your faith in God. Love Jesus. Obey his commandment. If anybody obey me, he will obey my command. Let us be his witnesses. Let us trust in his name. Let us trust in his love. Let us trust in his pardoning grace. Our God did not call us just to live on this earth, but he is coming soon. Jesus told, don't be troubled. I will come soon and gather you with me. He did not tell that I will come on this earth and stay with you. First, I will gather you to my side, with me. And John, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 4, 15 and 16 says, God will appear, Jesus will appear, and he will gather us with him, all the saints went before us, and we will be with him forever. With these words of love and hope, let us strengthen each other. Let us comfort each other. Let us be peaceful in our mind. God may help you. I thank you, and especially for the leaders of this assembly, elders of the assembly, for giving us this great opportunity to address you and give my testimony. One or two words I will tell about my second part of testimony. For the last 14 years, I am visiting the jails of my state, about 40 jails. Last time when I came in 2011, I had the opportunity to visit the Philadelphia jail prison and speak to 145 prisoners. They were very responsive. They sang with me. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. About 1 million prisoners I could address with these 10 years. And I am doing the distribution of booklets and tracts in the trains. Not the trains like here, 10 or 15 people here and there. In one compartment, you can meet 1,000 people. About that 14 or 15 compartments in one train. And almost every time of the day, these compartments fill, full. You can meet so much people. Printing of the materials and distribution. God is helping me to do that. Please pray for these activities and pray for my son who is there doing the Lord's work with his family. May God bless you and help you to live according to the will of Jesus Christ and God.
Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we ask that we may take to heart the words that have been spoken to us, Lord. Let us be not a people that just come to church on Sunday. Let us men in the chapel, let us love and lead, Lord. Help us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Help us to lead our families. Help us as men to be able to teach our sons that they must lead and love their future wives. Help us to teach our daughters that they are to love and respect their husbands. That we all must be worshiping on Sunday, audibly and inaudibly. Help us, Lord, this week to be your witnesses, to be your ambassadors, to preach that gospel to anyone that would hear. Help us have a discerning ear to be able to do that with everyone that we meet, as you give opportunity. In this precious name we pray. Amen.
Silver plate on that table, and the table which had the